Well, good evening.
Good evening.
We are so glad you're here this evening. I'm going to take just a few moments for a couple of announcements, kind of let you know what's going on for tonight. But we're so glad you're here. We're going to have a word of prayer here in just a moment. Before we do, I just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for coming. And if you don't mind, I'd like to ask a question. I've got a series of two or three questions. Just wave at me if that includes you. How many of you folks are here tonight because you were invited by family? Okay. How many folks here tonight because somebody put a flyer on your door to invite you to the Christmas cantata? All right. How many saw an ad in the paper? The Valley News. All right. Then I'm assuming most of them were invited from friends and family. And we're so glad that you're here. And then right after, I give you a little idea of what's going on, we're going to have a congregational song. We're going to sing Joy to the World. And then our choir is going to sing for us the cantata tonight, Silent Night. And then we're going to have a brief message, kind of a challenge, a reminder of what Jesus means. And then we're going to have a closing prayer, and we're going to sing together as a congregation, Silent Night. And then we'll be dismissed, and we trust, you hope you'll join us over in the fellowship hall for some snacks and some fellowship and get to know some folks and spend a little time together. So that's what our plan is for the evening. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if you don't mind, if you would stand with me, if you're able to, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing Joy to the World. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, thank you for Brother Sam and the choir and the time they spent working together, Lord, and to present this musical tonight. Father, we are so grateful for their efforts and their diligence in practicing. And now, Father, I pray that you'd help us to enjoy as we're reminded of the reason for the season tonight. And I pray, Father, there's anyone here that doesn't know that they know that they're saved. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's been discouraged be encouraged and just loved on by thy sweet Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for allowing us to do this, and thank you for our guest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Every year in the carols of this season, we sing of a silent night. Yet our hearts are often anything but silent as we contemplate Christmas. Sometimes the noise of preparation becomes an uproar inside us. Sometimes we struggle to focus on the melodies of love and grace that hold the real music of this season. So this night will not be silent. It will ring with thanksgiving and worship as we remember when God appeared in our darkness with His glorious light. The silence of God was broken by the message from the angel to Mary. Blessed art thou among women. The road that lay before her would not be easy, but Mary's response was not to fear or shrink back from what God was asking her to do. Instead, Mary's first response was to worship. For she knew God's plan was to send his son, and she would carry him as rumor whirled around her. Joseph, too, would accept the task of defending her and providing for her. God's plan would take them on a difficult journey to Bethlehem to bring forth Mary's firstborn surrounded by animals to lay him in a manger. So often, God's plan is not what we expect.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise of your word is not enough. And all the while, you hear each desperate plea, and long that we have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
What was it like in those first hours after Jesus' birth? The promised son was here, and mother and child were fine. Yet for the moment, only Mary and Joseph were there to see the miracles that had taken place. How they must have longed to share the glorious news with someone else.
Down the side.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude in the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward man. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
We will glorify the Lord of glory.
Time never dulls the beauty and holiness surrounding the night Jesus came. Every year we come to bow, to worship, and to give thanks for what heaven surrendered, and what the Son endured, and what the Father accomplished so that we would be blessed. Hallelujah. Jesus has been born. Because of his coming, Christmas means everything to us. So let this silent night be filled with singing. Let this holy night proclaim the story of what the world was given, and that is the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life through the shed blood of our Savior, Redeemer, and King.
down. I'd like to thank them for all the work they did, and hope that was a blessing to you. And in just a moment, Pastor's going to come up and give you a short message.
Thank you again so much for coming, and we'll again, I'd say I have a little bit of a short challenge for you tonight, and we'll come later before we close out our service. We'll sing together as we close out our service. We'll sing a song together, as I mentioned earlier, Silent Night. But I do want to make a mention. On Christmas Eve this year, we're going to have a candlelight service here at our church, and we'd love to invite you. If your church isn't having one or you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us. That's Tuesday, December the 24th, right here, candlelight service here at Harvest Baptist Church. We would love for you to join us. Well, I'd like to read one passage of Scripture and share a few thoughts with you tonight about the message of Christmas and what a wonderful job the choir did tonight. And I'll ask a few questions of you, make a few statements, and then we'll sing a song together and have a word of prayer and enjoy some fellowship. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that's what we're singing about tonight. So I have a question for you. How does the message of Christmas affect you? Let me ask that again. How does the message of Christmas affect you? Things have come so commercialized in our world today. Things have changed so much, computerized, AI, and things that have changed. And I'm young, there's some younger than you. We have a generation in our auditorium that has grown up with smartphones and computers. There's a generation in our congregation that's spent a good part of their life without those things. I never had a cell phone. I didn't have a computer until, in fact, I was, I think, in my 30s, late 20s, early 30s. We have all different generations, and things are looked upon a little bit different each and every generation. But, dear friends, the gospel message never changes. It is simple. It is basic. It is to the point. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you in reference to that tonight. How does the message of Christmas affect you? Listen, I want to share with you five ways, and don't worry, they're brief, five ways a Christmas message should impact our lives. Number one, it should stir our soul. Think about it. First of all, he came, he cared enough about you and me that he left a perfect world to come to an imperfect world. Christ left a realm where he was widely worshiped to come to a world where he was overwhelmingly rejected. The Lord Jesus left a world where he reigned to come to a world where men would say, "We will not have this man reign over us." Dear friends, the Christmas message should stir the soul when we think about all that our Savior gave up to come here on earth, to be born, to live, to die, that we might have eternal life. Christ knew what was waiting for him when he came to planet earth. He knew much of it would be undesirable and unwanted, but yet he came for us. The thought should stir our souls. Number two, I believe that Christmas message should stimulate our devotion to him. See, when you think of Christ Jesus coming down to this world, and I think it make it a little more personal, come down to the world for me, it stimulates my devotion to the Lord. All that he gave up just for me. Jesus gave his all, and that makes me want to give my all to him. Was that a doubt that we turn on the television each week and I tuned in just a little bit this afternoon to watch a little bit of two different ball games? And there's no doubt in my mind those players on the field were giving their all. They were laying it all out on the field of play to do their very best because they were competing for that little round ball made of pigskin innards. They were competing. Let me ask tonight, does the message of Christ, the message of the Savior, stir us, stimulate us, challenge us to be a little bit more devoted to him, to do a little bit more for him? Because he came for me, it moves me to live with an unreserved surrender unto my Lord because of what he has done for me. Dear friends, we should be devoted in word and in work. He deserves and he desires our very best. After all, God gave his best in his son. Why should not we give our best unto him. I trust the Christmas message not only stirs your soul, but it stimulates your devotion. Number three, it supports his love. It supports his love, the love that he has for us. Because Christ came and took upon himself the form of a servant, it clearly and plainly, unmistakably testifies to us of his love for the world. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He came to die for sinners. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for whom I am chief. Dear friends, the Christmas message supports his love for us. No one could ever deny, or that, well, they can deny, but the reality is he loved us enough. He loves us so much that he left all the splendor to come here that we might have eternal life. Number four, I believe the story of Christmas could cause us to seek his glory. See, the heart of the Christmas story is God getting glory, not man. Mankind is often glory stealers, but Christmas makes us say, to God be all the glory. Back to my ball game again. Tell you what, nowadays, the younger generation, and some of you are yet, nothing personal, I watch these ball games and I've never seen so much crazy antics and celebrations over scoring a touchdown. There was a time in my life where I thought, man, you should see me if I was to score a touchdown. And now I begin to wonder, there's no way I can compete for some of that foolishness that takes place. They get all excited. They run around, jump up and down. Sometimes those players will act like school kids and sit down like they're in a kindergarten class and do something I can't always make it out, just for the fun of their celebration because they scored a touchdown. When's the last time we got that silly, that foolish, that happy about what Christ has done in us and for us and through us? Are we supporting the love that he has demonstrated for us? Do we seek to glorify him for what he has done for us? When's the last time that we bragged on Jesus? When's the last time that we glorified him because of that which I have, my health, whatever may or may not be in my billfold, is all there because of what he has done to bless me? Do we take the time to remember the glory all belongs to him? And then number five, it should strengthen our hope. See, our hope is tied to Christ's first coming and strengthens our hope for the second coming. Since Jesus came the first time, we can be assured that he will come again. Our Lord promised us that he would come again. John tells us in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He makes it personal. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Dear friends, what does the Christmas story do for you? Does it stir your soul? Does it stimulate your devotion for your service for the King? Does it support his love for us and realizing how much that he loves us? And does our excitement about Christmas seek to glorify him? Does it strengthen our hope in the Lord Jesus? I don't know your background tonight, and I'm so glad you're here. Many of you I've met through the time that I've been here, almost 2 years as pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. And I would love to see you as often as you're able to be here with us or in your be faithful to your church. But I want to simply ask you tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Christmas story is personal to you. It stirs you because you have put your faith in Christ. You have put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You have realized that you're a sinner and in need of Christ. I say that should stir you. That should get you excited. It should cause you to want to glorify the King. But if you're here tonight and you're familiar with the Christmas story. It has become more commercialized than anything else in your life. Maybe there's never been a time that you've realized your need for the Savior. I would like to invite you tonight, realizing your condition, realizing that you are a sinner. And without that penalty of being paid through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, then you're bound to a place that does not celebrate Christmas. But would you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Would you allow this season, this year, to be the year that you trust Christ as your personal Savior? So in just a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to stand and sing a song together and close out our service. But I want you to know that I care so much about you. I would like to think that I love you as much as Jesus does, but I think that's impossible. But I do love you in Jesus' name. I'm willing to stay here all night for as many who would like to talk and ask questions. But the most important question that you could have for me or for my wife and some of the leadership of our church would be, if you have not already trusted Christ, would you tell me more about Jesus? That would be the biggest question that should be on your heart and mind. I will be available tonight to talk to you. My wife will, other folks in our church. But if you know the Lord, I'm going to ask you to stick around and enjoy us with fellowship. Enjoy us the time as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And I trust that it carries over through the rest of the Christmas season. And I am so glad to hear more people saying, Merry Christmas. I'm glad to hear some of the things again. And let me add this before I pray. I read an article earlier this week, and they're saying that Bible sales are beginning to rise once again in America. I get excited. That stirs my soul. But nothing like the experience of when I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Nothing like the experience of celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness and your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and joy of fellowship. And Father, once again, I ask if there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. They do not know about the personal relationship that they could have with the Lord Jesus, the Christ child. And Father, those who are here today that know you as Savior, I trust their hearts are stirred. They would be excited to become rejoicing and glorify the Lord Jesus and allow the birth of the Savior as we celebrate to stimulate their hearts and their devotion for the Lord, that the Lord may use them to make a difference in the life of another person. Father, meet with us. And then, Father, we'll dismiss a little later. And we ask that you bless the food in our fellowship. May it be uplifting. May it be encouraging. And Father, may others be willing, strong enough, to ask the questions that they need to know more about Jesus. May Christians be ready and prepared to share their faith. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you wouldn't mind grabbing a hymn book and turning to hymn number 144 as we close out our service tonight and sing together, Silent Night.
Hymn number 144 is, as you're looking for it, I just again like to thank you for being here. You've honored us by being here, and our goal was to stir hearts and honor the Lord, so I hope we've accomplished that. I'm going to say something that I know he's going to get mad at me for saying this, but I want to thank Brother Robert in the back room. He's back there. Nobody sees him back there, but we couldn't do this. He's at every single practice. He's just so faithful, and we thank him so much. Thank you, Robert. I know you'll hit me for that later, but amen. Please stand. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory streams.
thy Son God, us pure light, radiant beam from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light. Our King, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Amen.
Yes, I just want to say thank you once again. Some of our ladies, if y'all need to slip out to help over the fellowship, I'll go ahead and do that. Thanks again so much for being with us. Just a little reminder before we dismiss, we'll be having a candlelight service on.